Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Thanks for dropping in. Thanks for hitting the download button. And thanks for sharing and telling a friend. We love it when you tell a friend. I'm Pastor Dave, and we've got a full table. This is our end of the year, end of the school year closeout. Teacher let the monkeys out.
Mm-hmm.
We've got everybody at the table today. We'll go around. Everybody say hi. Gretchen.
Hello.
Randall, of course.
Hello.
And Nate the Great.
Hello.
Back amongst us.
Hello.
So we'll start in with a couple of things I wanted to cover, and then we'll let these guys talk about some stuff they may want to talk about. This is DC Rebirth Week. DC, don't call it a reboot. Every time they reboot, they say don't call it a reboot.
Funky stuff happening in the DC universe.
Yeah, but you know, I'm excited. The last 2-3 years, I've been mostly reading Marvel stuff, a little bit of DC, but not a lot. Really older DC. And have been tracking the newer Marvel stuff, the Secret Wars run, which I loved, and the all new, all different Avengers and some stuff. They have, though, this past week, I guess, in trying to, you know, these companies go back and forth and they try to one-up each other. And I think Marvel's response, or some of the stuff they're pulling in response to DC's Rebirth event, is I'm horrible. Not interested.
Yeah.
I'm not interested.
Bad.
Talk about Rebirth first, because I know we've got the same thing on our mind. Rebirth, don't call it a reboot. They're closing out the New 52, the controversial New 52 season that started, what, 5 years ago?
Yeah, I like the New 52.
I kind of did too.
Yeah, I was okay with it.
I wasn't just bowled over, but there was some good stuff in there. What they did with Aquaman, I really liked. But anyway, that's all done. So if you didn't like it, I guess that's good. I like what I'm seeing of the Rebirth stuff. Here's part of the problem, though. Again, first world problem. We've discussed this before, that we don't have any really close by comic stores, like none that I can go to, you know, once or twice a week or anything. So I get mine in the mail. So everybody else has already had their Rebirth now a day or two, their new 80-page issue, and I'm still waiting on mine. It's in the mail. So
there's enough buzz about it online. You can pretty well piece it together as to what's going on.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you don't want to. I mean, like anything else, I don't want to be too spoiled. I want to read mine. But it's like, man, everybody else is already talking about it, and they've already read theirs and everything. So it's very cool. I ordered the Rebirth, DC Universe Rebirth 1, which is supposed to kind of introduce everything that's happening. The way I'm picking up on it is they are taking like the best of the New 52, mixing it with some of the old original continuity and shedding a lot of stuff that people didn't like. It seems very, very fan responsive.
Right. So crowd oriented.
So I'm excited about that. And we're talking about now what Marvel has done in return.
Horrible.
Steve Rogers, Captain America number one. You've been following that? Yeah, right. They have retconned Captain America now. I don't know what's it been, 70 years, 100 years, 75 years. That's what it was. Captain America is now revealed to have been
Hydra the
all
whole time.
Along. He's been a Hydra agent. What in the world are they doing?
There's got to be some sort of twist in there or something. I don't know.
There probably will be. There probably will be.
Think of all the buzz they've got going, though, about it. So,
but it's not good buzz. You know what? Because it made me not interested. I don't want. I will not buy that book. So
I don't know. I would buy it just to see what's going to happen. Because,
well,
I want to know how they turn it around.
You're not going to get it in this one book, because they've been planning this for a year or two.
Yeah.
From what I was reading today, and
it's going to be like the death of Superman. It's going to take a year to get fully.
They're going to run. They're going to do this run, you know, for another year or so, and they'll slowly reveal. They're going to retcon it. We'll see things how from the past where, you know, I don't know. Man, folks are mad.
Yeah.
Folks are mad. And you know what's funny was, because in the days leading up to that, the other discussion, the other campaign that was going on was this Give Captain America a Boyfriend campaign. Did you see that?
Twitter hashtag.
Because we got to make
everywhere.
Because we got to make everything gay.
Yeah.
It has to be. And I'm like, why? Why mess with a character that's got 75 years of continuity? You know, go make a new character. Make your own gay character.
Right. They had him before.
To make a gay character. Make a book that nobody will buy.
Some folks will buy it. You know, I imagine that demographic is probably extremely small, though.
That's what I'm...
Not to mention he's from the 40s, and that was unheard of back then, so...
It's probably legal.
Yeah, because there was none of that going on back then, right?
No, I mean...
Yeah, old J. Edgar kept everything.
What was it they called him? When he dressed up like... none of this could be true, but you know, you hear the stories. Yeah. J. Edgar Hoover, when he... Mary, that's what it was. Mary? Wasn't that his... That was his dressed up...
I think that was his mom's name or something.
His dressed up woman name.
Yeah.
Anyway, so... This whole Give Captain America a Boyfriend hashtag campaign is going on. And and what sidetracks that?
Yeah.
What really infuriated people more than that?
Hail Hydra.
We retconned him into a Hydra agent. Mm-hmm. You know, people the other night, you know, well, that's silly. Yeah. What? He's a Hydra agent? We're more upset about that. So that's pretty cool. Well, speaking of, we saw Civil War. Mm-hmm. You and I talked about it a little bit. Nate, what'd you think about it?
It was good.
Did you like it? What did you like about it? Who's your favorite? Has anybody like really jumped out? You're like, that guy's cool.
Captain America.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's still
on top.
Aces.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, he's the Knights of Military guy. Yeah. He's interested in that. That's your super soldier. So.
Yeah. Captain America is pretty generally loved by everyone, I would say. Well, I don't know about now, but.
He's kind of, he can be. If you're not careful, he's in danger of, he can fall into that trap that Superman gets into where you're a little bit too much of a Boy Scout and you're
he seems very humble versus Tony Stark.
Yeah. He's more interesting than Superman, but that whole Boy Scout routine can get a little boring.
Mm-hmm.
But Cap's got a little more edge to him than Superman.
Especially if he's a gay Hydra agent.
He's a double
super
agent.
Edge.
Oh my goodness. What are we doing? What'd you think? Would you like the movie? We didn't really talk about it that much.
I'm Captain America and Superman. Mm-hmm. And so they're both kind of the same to me, just in different worlds.
Yeah.
Well, and they represent the similarities, yes, but they also represent the differences between like DC and Marvel. You know, where DC, most of their characters, if you think about it, are kind of gods.
Mm-hmm.
Superpowered gods, you know, come to Earth, or aliens, or
Marvel's more some bad thing happened and turned them into.
They're more like you. I can identify with down to earth kind of people with real problems and stuff.
Right.
It's always been that's maybe one subtle difference I think between the two. Yeah, Captain America is a Hydra agent, so that's funny. That kind of quieted down the whole Cap a boyfriend at least for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And what else about that? Ben Affleck now is going to be executive producer on the Justice League.
Awesome.
And we're continuing to get confirmation of things we already kind of knew, which was he was going to direct and potentially write the solo Batman film.
You've got to come up with a really good story for this next one.
The script that he's written, according to everybody that's talking about it, is really, really, really good.
Okay.
They're excited about that. But there's been have you noticed this steady move now to push out
mm-hmm.
Zack Snyder, not push him out, but relegate him more to a team player, he's not team captain anymore.
Right. Some of his movies are really good, and some of them are just not very good.
Yeah. It's hit and miss. And it's not that he doesn't get the material. So we have such a strange relationship with him because we love him because he reads the books and he's into all the stuff we're into, and he gets it, and he's going to be mostly true to the characters. But then in execution, it's kind of hit and miss. So it's not, we don't question his heart or his motivation, but then sometimes maybe it's just ability.
Mm-hmm.
But Geoff Johns is now kind of becoming the guy. I think he's going to be like Kevin Feige is over at Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
Geoff Johns is, what am I trying to say? He's the head of creative at DC. And I think he's starting to kind of head things up over there. And so I think it's going to get better.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not unhappy with what we've had, but okay. Moving on, went back to the dentist again. Are we getting tired of my dentist stories yet?
More root canal therapy?
No. This one, I'm not even really sure what I've done. I had a couple of fillings put in, some in the front, and some more work on that one tooth. He had to take, I guess, the mold. Somewhere right now, my crown is being prepared or molded, so we had to do some of that and take.
It's like a superhero scene. You can see it, like the little machines working on it and making it.
Yeah, right. You know? Right. It's coming out of Star Labs or something.
Yeah.
So they're supposed to call me back, and I'm supposed to get that. Well, anyway, So this visit was not as intense quite as the others. But so while I'm there.
Music. What's the music playing?
I don't even remember. There was something he didn't care for. I did pick up that it is coming off of some kind of personal playlist.
Mm-hmm.
Because some song popped up. Some lady was singing. And he told the assistant to get up and go change it. He's like, I don't really want to hear that. She was good in concert, but I don't want to listen to that. And I don't know who it was. Here's what I wanted to tell you about this last visit, though. So I'm sitting there. I'm in the chair. I'm like reclined all the way back.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're looking up at the ceiling and your mouth is, your head's almost, you're, like the top of your head is angled toward the floor. Mm-hmm. And he's there to my right, the assistant there to my left. And somebody sticks their head in the door and says, they're here. And there's like this moment of silence. And I pictured now, I think they were probably rolling their eyes at each other. I'll tell you why in a minute. And whoever, the lady that told him they were here,
mm-hmm.
says, but they didn't want to pull you away from your patient. So, you know, when you get a moment. Okay. So he does a little bit more work, gets up, and they leave. So I'm sitting there and I'm waiting. And then they come back in and they're talking to mm-hmm. each other. As if I'm not in the room, they're talking right. to each other about whatever happened.
Violating HIPAA privacy laws.
And this is what I hear him say it, because I'm gathering they're talking about whatever meeting they just had or whoever it is they went to see. Mm-hmm. He says, well, the board already cleared me on that one.
Oh, my word.
I'm sitting there with my mouth open with the suction tube. They left the tube in my mouth, the suction in my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So my mouth is dry, and he's just, the board already cleared me on that one. And this is what you want to hear when you're sitting.
And I was unsure about going to him. Now no, I'm he's, settled.
No. I've been very happy. I like going there. I don't want anybody to get the wrong idea. But this was just too funny not to. I'm thinking, oh, this is great. That's what you
want
to hear.
Yeah, you want your dentist to be a rule breaker for sure.
And so then he starts talking to his assistant, and he said, did they ask you about your extended duty license? And I gather from that must be something like where, you know, if you work administrative and mm-hmm. work. And yeah, they asked me, and they always do, and they asked her about it. And so then as they're carrying on this conversation, he picks up some instruments and he goes back into my mouth. And this is the next thing. The two things you don't want to hear when you're at the dentist. One, the board already cleared me on that. I guess that's better than the board hasn't cleared me on that one yet.
They cleared me on that one, but the next one, whew.
And here's the most disturbing thing I've ever heard at the dentist. Let's see if he's still numb. Guess what?
It wasn't.
No. It had worn off, and he started drilling on. He was working on these front teeth, and I was like, whoa. And he said, okay, yeah, no, not that one. I thought it was starting to wear off. Let's see if he's still numb.
That's right up there with how can you pass a drug test? What do you
what do you mean?
The dentist says, how am I supposed to pass this drug test? Is this something I can take? Or?
I don't know what they were there doing, but those folks were there a long time, because he would work on me a little bit and he would get up and he'd come back and they'd grouse about whatever these people were giving him a hard time about, and he'd keep going back and forth and stuff. So
or the statutes of limitations has expired.
I don't know.
That'd be another one I would hate to hear.
That ADA is some tough folks, man. They don't even recommend Crest toothpaste anymore. Only four out of five of them do. So that one fifth.
Who's that fifth dentist that just won't get on board?
Right.
I don't like gum. Gum is gross.
That toothbrush doesn't have as many bristles per inch as it's supposed to have.
So when we were here before, we were talking about Mother's Day, where that's when we went out to see the movie and had a big old time. Do you want to tell, Gretchen's here, do you want to tell your version of the events that occurred at the hibachi restaurant?
No.
Oh, I thought you meant the whole day.
Let's not.
Yeah. Dave said you had a story about Nate that we needed to hear.
No.
Well, let me recap.
Let's not.
Nate has this very sensitive, overly sensitive gag reflex, and if he gets to coughing too hard or if he gets to choking on something,
no,
he'll throw up. Is this not true?
Okay. No, it is.
I'll give you a
moment. Oh, because I have a story about a strep test he just had.
So yeah, we need to hear that too. So at the we went to
your friends aren't listening. It's okay.
Yeah,
I know.
We went to eat Mother's Day at the Hibachi restaurant to have our Mother's Day meal and everything. And somehow or another, Nate got choked up and he had to go vomit. And he vomited outside right in front of the door to the restaurant.
Yeah.
That was the story that we told last week. So, anyway, yeah, go ahead. Share some of yours.
At Logan's or the strep test? I'll do both. I'll do both.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
We got nowhere to be.
No.
So, okay, so we were at Logan's and we had... Our meal came on, not a plate, but it looked like a, I don't even know, like there was an inset and there was an edge to the plate. So it was kind of, it was nice for what Nathan had to do in it. And it had the little paper that the food comes on. So we have our meal and I wanted to take him there because that's the one where you can take the peanut shells and throw them in the floor. I want him to experience that. And even he was like, I can't do that. I cannot throw this in the floor. And I'm sitting there just chucking shells into the floor. I'm like, come on, join me.
It just didn't feel right, did it?
No, it didn't.
There's just something. When you're not supposed to throw things.
But see, what I didn't want him to do it is when he would do it.
His bedroom's okay, but the...
Yeah,
the
yeah, Logan's something like that.
Not going to happen.
And so anyway, after the meal, we were sitting there, and he's like, I really don't feel good. And he lifts the paper off one of those plates and just... Bleh. All into that plate.
So this
and
wasn't like, this wasn't a choking situation. You were legitimately.
I don't know what was going on.
Oh, okay. All right.
He's always trying to throw up about something, and so I'm like, "You are not." And sure enough, I looked over there, and that's what he was doing. And the poor waitress, like any time to just ride it, wasn't spilling over anything, but she had to somehow balance that back to the kitchen. I was like, I'm so sorry.
I felt bad for that.
I misunderstood. I thought he vomited in the plate and you guys left it behind.
No.
But no, the server
she came there. Out.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Did you just like want to die?
No.
Was she cute?
You beat me to it.
She had kids.
Grandkids, she said. I got grandkids. I've been through this a time or two.
Oh.
But so I mean, when a server is carrying away a plate of your vomit, I mean, did you not just want to crawl under the table and die?
No.
I would.
In the plate. Did it all stay on the plate?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
that's pretty good aim, really.
Yeah. Let her tell you about
the got steady hands
test.
To keep
yeah.
the...
Well,
that's Wait. The part to me. I don't want to... The challenge of carrying it from the table to the... I mean, I don't know. I don't know what else you do with it. You got to get it out of there.
Drop it on the floor and make the busboy come get it, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're there. That's what they're there for, right?
But let me tell you, I was making a fool of myself when we went to the doctor when he had to get the strep test because they said, we want to test you for, well, let me back up a little bit. That Friday, they had field day, and he didn't put sunblock on but one time and was drinking Mountain Dews to rehydrate.
And Gatorade.
Sweet.
So, well, Gatorade's not good either. It's supposed to be water.
Mountain Dew, the rehydration force of the South.
Yeah. So anyway, he came home and he was sick and didn't feel good. And it kind of lasted all weekend long. He was puking at his mom's. And he came back and I said, you know, Dave, I think I need to make him a doctor's appointment. He's probably dehydrated and needs to get... No, he'll be fine. We sent him to school Monday morning. And they called and had us come get him. And then... We thought, well, he's going to be okay to go Tuesday.
Threw up again.
So they called us this time with 103 temperature, and I said, that's it. I'm making an appointment. So on the way there, I was telling him, I was like, I'm not going to be surprised if they don't put you in the hospital right now. And he's like, no. Will I get an IV? And I was like, yeah. He says, do they hurt? And I said, yeah.
I said, thank you, Gretchen.
So I'm not going to lie to you. Not going to lie to you. So we get to the doctor, and she's like, does your throat hurt? Okay, I'm checking you for strep and the flu. And I said, what? Are you sure he's not dehydrated? So they go and they, you know how they do the flu test now? They stick that little thing up your nose hole.
I sneezed like 18 times.
Sweet.
And I'm sitting there just laughing. I'm like, sorry, nurse. This is hilarious to me. And so she goes, okay, now I'm going to swab your throat. And he goes, can I go over to the trash can because I'm going to throw up. And she goes, okay, come over to the sink.
Jams it in your throat and then swabs your stomach.
You don't want to do that gingerly. You want to just go and get it over with, I bet.
I'm proud that you were planning and had and didn't wait until
the forethought.
And throw up all over her.
I'm proud that you knew it was a possibility. Okay.
That's a step to manhood right there. When you know you're going to puke and you just go ahead and plan for it.
What was going on with the Mountain Dew? I missed that on the
floor. He only drank Mountain Dew and
Gatorade.
And Gatorade on field day. No water whatsoever.
Yeah.
One Mountain Dew.
What was that movie Idiocracy? Mm-hmm. Were they...
Yes.
It's got what plants crave.
Yeah. Yes. They watered the fields with Mountain Dew.
Electrolytes. It's got what plants crave.
Well, the only way I can compare his reaction to this throat swab, it's like in a scary movie where somebody's like getting killed. It's like
death rattle.
Needs some music.
It was almost like she was like, "Oh, this makes you sick." Yeah, and she's just all she in jammed there. It.
In the swab.
I could not help myself. I was laughing so hard at the doctor's office. So anyway, that was my funny story.
Mountain Dew. I'll just say this.
There's a country song based on Mountain Dew.
Yeah. I'm sure there is. I'm sure there's plenty.
I want you to think about every successful person you know. Mm-hmm. And think about how often you see them drinking Mountain Dew.
Yes.
That's pretty much all you want to say. Well, do you have anything to say for yourself?
Yeah, rebuttal. Then,
I mean, you can't really defend oneself from vomiting, but I mean, do you want to explain any of this? Or am I correctly attributing it to this gag reflex thing? Or are you, what was happening that day in the restaurant? Were you legitimately nauseous? Or
no, like I ate a piece of chicken and I started choking on it.
I've never seen somebody throw up like this child does. Never.
Waste so much money. On food.
Yeah, and it's always after we've eaten. Then he's like, "Oh, I'm choking on something."
And then he's like, "I'm hungry. Let's go to McDonald's."
And not like a normal person.
Exactly.
Normal people cough it up. He's got to throw it up.
No, see, if I cough up the loogie, I'm throwing up.
Yeah.
It tastes nasty.
All right. Well, here.
Ew, you're tasting it.
Well, Nathan,
or
if
you cough it up, it touches your tongue. It's nasty.
That doesn't have to.
I'll share a story with you then, Nate, that you'll enjoy. A week or two ago, I'm laying in bed and I'm watching TV. We got these Roku players now to watch our programs with our internet, you know, and stuff, Netflix and Hulu. And one of the features that I love on the Roku, in addition to how fast it is, they're very fast, they have a headphone jack on the remote.
Believe me, I love that too.
It's awesome.
Yes, I do.
So, and especially since we all keep funky, strange hours. I work nights and stuff. So I can lay in a bed and watch TV with my headphones on. So I'm watching some kind of horror movie, and I didn't even finish it. It wasn't very good. It was one of those exorcism movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there was a real strange spot in it, and it was right on the front end, and I've got my headphones on, and I'm watching the movie, and it was just like a guy walking in the hospital or like walking up a hallway or something. There wasn't really anything exciting going on or any real action or anything.
Suspenseful maybe? Or?
Not much. I mean, a little bit because, you know, he's going to do something, but it wasn't like he was creeping around a dark corner or anything. So I'm hearing on the soundtrack this strange noise, and it seemed out of place because I thought, are they trying to be creepy? They're trying to be spooky.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, and I thought, okay, so I'm supposed to, you know, subliminally hear the demon maybe while he's walking, but it was a weird place to put it because there really wasn't anything going on. It was, and I'm sitting there listening and I'm watching, and then it got even more like innocuous. Then he walked in the room. Hello, how are you? Oh, I'm fine. How are you? I'm like, what is going? Something is not right. And I pulled the headphone away from my ear. It was Gretchen. It was some kind of, I thought her snoring was bleeding into my exorcism movie.
I had that new level of suspense.
It was some demonic snoring. I don't even really know if you would call it snoring or not. I guess it was. Anyway.
Is it when I, because every once in a while, I even wake myself up moaning. Was it that?
Yeah,
was
you
I
doing do that from time to time. You went full on laughing either last night or night before.
Oh, really? Like,
That's when I leave.
I was gonna wake you up and have you share the joke. What?
Madeline's the worst at that. Like, because I stay up late studying usually, and she's come in the past week. She's come in twice. Once she said, "You know I'm going to be judged on that, Daddy." I was like, "Okay."
Oh wow!
I was sleepwalking.
Yeah, and then the other time she said, "Where's Trinity and Mia?" And I was like, "Probably at their house asleep, sweetheart." No, they're here.
Nathan,
they're here.
Nathan used to do something like that. Talked in his sleep, or I don't really remember. Do you remember?
Oh yeah, he talked in his sleep.
I still do that.
Do you? Okay.
Freaked my mom out one night.
Gretchen does from time to time, but it's sporadic. Mm-hmm. It's strange. But yeah, man.
That's good compared to what I used to do. Because when I was a kid, I used to have conversations with you and not even know what was going on. They'd tell me the next morning what all I said and this big, huge conversation I had. And I was I don't remember any of that.
I do that now just because I sleep during the day. And people call me during the day. I'll answer the phone.
Oh, yeah.
And I try to tell folks, you know, I don't want to embarrass them or make them feel bad, but I'm like, look, it's fully possible that you can call me and I can carry on a conversation and sound awake, and I may not remember because you get accustomed to trying to sound awake and polite on the phone so people won't feel bad, even though they should, that they've called and woke you up again, but... But what that means is then I'm very likely may not remember that we even had that conversation.
My dad always calls you back. Like if he sees that you've called him while you slept, then he'll call you back and be like, "What are we talking about?"
Oh. Not just return a phone call, but actually call to follow up on one that he actually had, conversation that he had.
What did we talk about earlier?
Okay. Well, it is the end of the school year. We want to get reports from the school year. Nate, give us some highlights from your school year. What did you enjoy? What went down in your win column? Give us a retrospective.
I passed. The seventh grade pirate.
Yeah. He came home the other day all excited. He was like, "I passed." I was like, "Passed what?" You know, I'm thinking like a test or something. Yeah. He's like, "The seventh grade."
Barely.
I was like.
I said, "By the skin of your teeth is not something to be proud of."
Yay for me. I'm adequate.
I got a C.
Nah, one of the best things of the school year is Miss Kincaid likes to go off topic. She's my science teacher.
I thought she was a math teacher.
Miss Carey's
She used to be.
Oh, okay. Math. Okay. All right, go ahead. The science teacher.
We get off topic in Miss Kincaid's class a lot. So at lunch, me and my entire class sits at one table and plans how we're going to go off topic.
Oh, my goodness.
So one day we went in there and her granddaughter was having a baby. So we talked about that for about an hour.
Did you hear that? Your son just said that he tried to distract the entire science class.
Well, distract is not the word.
The entire class brings up
something. And you wonder
why
that woman is bat poop crazy. Yeah. It's because you guys have...
Yes.
Yeah, but everyone raises their hand at once.
I mean, really, in fairness, at this point in the stage, because she's been teaching a long time, right?
Oh, yeah.
40 years.
She probably don't care. She's probably glad to talk about something else, too, you know? As long as you don't get too far afield.
As long as they pass their
test. She practically runs the school.
Is that it? That's not the most interesting or exciting experience.
Played football at the end of the year.
Did a little football, did a little band. What did you learn playing football?
How to hit the person in front of me and respect adults.
Oh.
Anger management.
You learned those things?
Yes.
You were taught about those things. I don't know that you've learned them all yet. But
tried to learn.
Are you going next year? You can do it again, or
yeah,
because that's what I was going to ask you next. We've talked about my lack of experience or knowledge with football, and this was all kind of an experiment. It was like you wanted to try it, but you've enjoyed it. It's
yes,
that maybe you if you give any thought to anything else, you're gonna do basketball, baseball.
I might do all of it.
Yeah.
Ooh, overachiever.
But it looks like this is really where you're. I mean, you don't have to. You don't have to do any of it. But this is really where your interests lie. You've kind of
football
developed
an
affinity.
I've been trying to encourage him because in junior high, it's easier to get on a team than it is in high school.
Yeah, especially once you build up a relationship with your teammates and stuff, then it's easier to to fall into that in high school too. Yeah.
To fall into what? What are you guys talking about?
Well, like when you're in a team in junior high, and those guys grow up together and they go into high school together and. Stay on the same team together.
You know, camaraderie or...
Yeah, it's a lot harder to get into the middle of a team when they've already had 5 years together and you're
on year one. Yeah. You want to come up with them. Mm-hmm. I got you. Okay.
Yeah.
One bonding trip on the football team was when we beat Union City for the first time in history, I guess.
Union City's a tough team.
Yeah.
Our coaches were bragging.
They historically have always had a good good football sports program, yeah. Union City and Milan.
Yeah.
We've been talking a lot in the, without we, the country, been talking a lot about men and women and which bathrooms and stuff to go in, and I don't really care. I'm not going to. Mm. If you need to know which bathroom to go in, look in your pants, I guess.
First world problem.
Yeah, right. We have nothing else. We have this, how good we have it. But since those conversations have kicked up and people have kind of got their feathers up about it, it's leading to a lot of peripheral things. Like now the stories are starting to come out about, you know, some woman with short hair was trying to go into the ladies' yeah. room and somebody confronted her and, hey, dude, get out of there. And she's like, I'm a woman, you know.
Do you think that this stuff happened, though, before? And just because there wasn't media coverage of it and everybody wasn't just looking for it.
Nah, but. Nah. I mean, people didn't feel, I mean, they definitely watch. And let's be real. We've all done it. We've been somewhere in public and people watching and we've elbowed one another and go, is that a man or a woman? We've all done it.
I got the funniest story ever about that.
Yeah.
I was running a Napa Auto Parts store in Knoxville, one of the biggest store they've got in Tennessee. And it's super busy, stacked wall-to-wall people all day. And so I was working the counter and had five people in front of me. I was dealing with this lady and getting her parts and stuff. And at the time, you had to go to a separate room to get the parts as they came down this assembly line because it was part of a big warehouse thing. And so I went to the other room and I was getting the parts. And one of the office ladies came out and she's like, it kind of reminds you of that song, Dude Looks Like a Lady, huh? And I was like, whatever, you know. And so I grabbed this part and I start walking back and then I start humming this song because I got it stuck in my head. It's like, yeah, it looks like a lady. Right. And I get to the counter and I'm unboxing the part, you know, looking at it. And I'm singing this song. And I look up and there is a 6'5" transvestite in front of me.
Oh, my.
And I just like got immediately red, handed her a part, left, mm-hmm. got off the counter.
You didn't get any reaction or acknowledgement.
No,
well, maybe no big deal.
Yeah, maybe she's used to it.
He's probably like,
whatever. I don't know.
Like, I like that song too. Well, anyway,
singing along with me.
So there's the stories coming out. There was one here recently a week or two ago. Some lady got accosted because whoever was trying to stop her from going in. I mean, this was a woman who identifies as a woman, was right. born a woman, and but I haven't seen her, but
I did.
It's enough to say.
I saw the picture of her. I mean, she looks like a woman. I mean,
okay. All right.
I would.
Well, now here's the question I wanted to pose, and this is for Gretchen. We had to do this while she's here because there's really no way for us. As a woman, would you rather, what is less offensive or less hurtful, to be mistaken for a man or to be mistaken as being pregnant?
Huh.
You know how that people say, don't ever guess.
Nope.
Don't guess about people.
9 months. Know. Still say, don't say nothing.
They go, how nice. When are you expecting? I'm not expecting. I'm just fat.
I had the baby 3 months ago.
Yeah, right. So, and I thought there's a weird kind of, I don't know, not similarity, but those are two things, you know, that I can think of that would be offensive.
Yeah.
You know, especially now we're more aware of wondering if people are man or woman or whatever. And I thought, well, that's interesting. Which is worse? And it goes, that may vary from person to person. What would be worse for you?
Being mistaken as a man.
Really?
Yeah.
What's the difference? Why is that less offensive than the other?
Because the pregnant is easier to fix. It's easier to lose weight than, you know, change your facial features.
I see. So you're internalizing it. You're saying, okay, if someone were to say that to you, then, I mean, you would be offended or hurt, wouldn't you? If somebody said, hey, fella, or when are you expecting? I mean, that would offend you, right? At least on the...
Yeah, both of them would.
In the moment. But what you're doing is, though, you're then internalizing it and saying, okay, I'm bothered and I don't want to appear as a man. I'm bothered and I don't want to appear...
Well, that's and it's personal for me because I can't wear a button-down collared shirt without feminizing, making it more feminine because I feel manly in a button-down collared shirt.
Okay. All right. Well, that gets us closer to then the answer or the psychology behind your answer. You're already very alert or sensitive to not appearing masculine.
Yes.
I imagine, like, as an overweight man that you know, I know I'm overweight, so it's not a big, like, you're not going to surprise me by anything you say if you say something about me being overweight.
But don't you think that's different for us, though?
Yeah,
my kids ask me if I'm pregnant all the time.
But, I mean, if you said, you know, you're an awful tall girl, I'd be like, what? What are you talking about?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, you know, we could joke and cut up, and we have, and call each other fat. But you wouldn't say that to a woman. Oh, I mean, you understand there's a difference. You wouldn't call a woman
36 years on this earth. You learn a few things.
Yeah.
Curse to the face.
Yeah, I think that would be easier for a man. And I think when most of us identify pretty strongly in our masculinity.
Yeah.
But care very little, not very little, that
these
we're overweight.
Kids today with their long hair and hippie love beads.
Exactly. Interesting. All right.
And some other woman might answer that differently. They might say the opposite.
Well, yeah.
Just because of what's going on in their head.
Yeah, I'm curious if we took a poll, what the general response would be. I just kind of wanted to know what you thought.
I think some women, too, have a different... Because I went out with a girl one time that felt like she looked really mannish, but she really didn't. I mean, not at all. I mean, she looked very feminine, but she felt in her head that she looked... Mm-hmm. More mannish than she really
I think
did.
That's probably not maybe a low level, but do you think that, I mean, did you get the sense that it was just a quirk or a preoccupation, or did it seem like some kind of pathology?
I mean,
did
I think
it seem deep?
It seemed deep, because, like, she wouldn't even wear, like, anything that might look masculine wouldn't even wear anything close to that.
That's
so,
the way I am. I won't wear anything that's close to masculine. Jeans I have a problem with. I mean, it's...
Well, that's that.
I don't know where that started. It just, it's always been that way for me.
This is my idea. I think maybe what Randall's talking about, that's why I wanted to know how deep it was with this person. That almost implies to me like a body dysphoria.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, a man who thinks he's a woman or an anorexic woman who thinks she's fat. You know, that I have a dysphoria delusion about my body.
Yeah. I mean, because she'd always wear super large amounts of makeup and. Really exaggerated.
Overcompensate.
Yeah, you know, just weird.
That I assume didn't need.
Yeah.
Well, again, since Gretchen's here, this is an interesting one. This story broke a couple of weeks ago, I guess. New York City Commission on Human Rights. Those human rights commissions, we're seeing more and more of the states forming.
How many humans need rights, for real? I mean.
Well, what you've got with these human rights commissions, and the one in Washington is the absolute worst. Mm. You've got unelected bodies.
Right.
Who are appointed and are passing unilaterally making policy, and they're nuts. Well, anyway, what happened here? I'll give you the quick version. This pregnant woman was in a restaurant in New York, and she wanted to have a glass of wine, and somebody refused to serve her. So she filed a complaint with the New York City Commission on Human Rights, because there's nothing against the law on this, the New York City Commission on Human Rights issued a new set of guidelines that addresses discrimination against pregnant women. Now, how do you think they sided on this?
Oh, I'd say they sided with the pregnant woman.
I think they sided differently.
They recommend moms-to-be who would like to have a glass of Chardonnay at happy hour should not be turned away by a bartender. The policy specifically addresses a restaurant's role in policing food and drinks thought to be no-nos during pregnancy.
I think that's a cultural thing, too. I mean, I know that alcohol and babies don't mix, but isn't it like in Europe, don't they drink a glass of wine a night and think it's better for the baby or something?
Well, I know that later on in the pregnancy, after all the organs are formed and everything, that it's okay. Mm-hmm.
Well,
one or two glasses, but
this,
not.
This lady says I was about 32 weeks.
Yeah, so she's about ready to pop.
Yeah, so she's.
Oh, okay. All right. Well,
you guys
are going to bring me around. This is my husband and I took a baby to South Beach, asked for a glass. I guess it's a restaurant. They're in New York. Mm-hmm. I asked for a glass of wine. The waiter said, "Are you sure?" and gave me a stare down. I said, "Doesn't it look like I need one? Give me the flipping wine."
Oh, that's the problem there.
Disrespectful.
I'd have been like, "I know."
So the New York City Commission on Human Rights now has a policy, and it says any policy that singles out pregnant individuals is unlawful.
You send Andy Holt up there and get him to take care of it.
Mm-hmm. He can go burn that policy. Unlawful policies include those that categorically exclude pregnant workers or workers who are capable of becoming pregnant.
Overreach. Government overreach.
From specific job categories or positions, deny entrance to pregnant individuals to certain public accommodations, or refuse to serve certain food or drink to pregnant individuals or individuals perceived to be pregnant. Now, I appreciate what you guys are saying. Mm-hmm. And now you've kind of opened my eyes to something that maybe this is not as harmful. You know, we do know maternal alcohol use.
Yeah.
It is the leading known cause of mental retardation, mm-hmm. a preventable cause of birth defects.
It doesn't sound like she was chugging bourbon. It sounds like she was having a glass of wine.
All right. Yeah. So now I appreciate what you guys have said, and you've kind of hearing the voice of reason. I'm warming up a little bit. Here's my problem. Here's one problem. This is in New York. Mm-hmm. Does anybody remember in New York recently the sugary drinks portion cap rule, a.k.a. the soda ban?
The soda ban, yeah.
Now, this said there was a limit on soft drink size intended to prohibit the sale of many sweetened drinks more than 16 ounces. You couldn't have an extra large.
You couldn't have a 16-ounce drink that was cold.
Under the plan, right. You couldn't be served. Yeah, right. New York City regulated restaurants, fast food establishments, delis, movie theaters, sports stadium, food carts would be barred from selling sugar sweetened drinks in cups larger than 16 ounces. So, according to the City of New York and the Human Rights Commission, you cannot conscientiously object to serve a woman a glass of wine. However, you will be subject to penalty if you serve her a 20-ounce Pepsi.
Yeah.
What do we think?
I think it's good that we don't live in New York.
Yeah.
Well, Washington State is really the worst one. And what we've got with these human rights commissions, again, they're unelected bodies, and they're forming these commissions. These are not your city boards. And they're making policy. And with really no oversight, it's leading to overreach. This is where we're getting like when people were shocked or surprised, like when the bakers wouldn't bake the cake for the wedding. It's like, so what? And they ended up getting fined. And like, how does that happen? It's because these are places where they have these human rights commissions and they pass these policies and. And you're subject to a civil fine.
But they won't say anything like if a Muslim refused to bake a cake for a gay bake.
No, of course not. And all of this, what they don't seem to care about is, oddly enough, what they continue to violate is the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Mm-hmm. You know, at this stage in our history, and this may change, I don't know, things like who you choose to have sex with, mm-hmm. That doesn't make you a protected class.
No.
Now, the Civil Rights Act of 1964 does outlaw discrimination on race, color, religion. There's five of them. Mm-hmm. Race, color, religion, sex, and national origin. And the reason was it ended voter registration, inequalities.
Right. Jim Crow laws.
Racial segregation in schools and things like that, which... It's funny to me because in their effort to address what they call discrimination or inequality, they're just walking all over and crapping all over the Civil Rights Act. Mm-hmm. I mean, the irony is mind-blowing.
You think these people see that maybe they don't have a job if everything works out okay, so they got to come up with new things to rally around?
They're just activists.
Yeah.
They're activists, and if we can't pass laws in the proper way, we'll form a commission who
change
will make
the signs,
policy.
Boys. I just watch Fox News. We got to get new pickets out.
it's absurd.
Yeah,
and I don't know.
Pretty soon, I'm going to need a safe space to get away from those folks.
I do. I
feel triggered.
Safe space.
Well, you know, working at retail, I always felt guilty if I sold cigarettes to a pregnant woman. Mm-hmm. You know, as a morally. That just bothered me a lot, and I found myself feeling really bad about it. So I can understand how, you know, this person could have felt like he was an inhibitor.
Sure, enabler. Yeah.
Enabler.
Yeah. No, that was kind of my first takeaway from it. Here's the thing. Here's the world that I have mistakenly thought we lived in, mm-hmm. and apparently we don't. I have misunderstood somehow or another. I would have thought, and this issue comes up, or this framework comes up around separate issues. I thought in America that basically if you run a business or you're a merchant or something, you can choose to do business how you want to, whenever you want to, with who you want to. Basically, like if we want to go, like you say, where you worked in retail. If you go into a retail store and they don't want to serve you, they don't have to serve you. Mm-hmm. And I think there's this misconception, and because it is getting cloudy now with these human rights commissions and stuff, that no, they have to. Mm-hmm. They can't discriminate. And I'm like, no, wait a minute. This is not government funded. This is not employment. You know, this is somebody selling goods and services to that end. Like when this has been a few years ago in Tennessee, we were debating about whether guns and cars, like could people carry and store guns with them, or carry their guns with them to work, store them in their car if their employer, but their employer wants guns banned from the premises. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the pro-gun folks, you know, were champions of this cause. And to me, it wasn't a gun issue. Mm-mm. It was a rights issue. Right. Like, no, wait a minute. If you want to do whatever you're going to do with your guns, that's your business. But if I own and operate this business, just like my home, if I don't want somebody bringing something into my home, if I own and operate this business, I ought to, in the United States of America, have the authority to say, no, not on my premises. Mm-hmm. And it's weird because who are your gun advocates? Who are your gun proponents? They're all these constitutionalists. And I'm like, well, what about the rights of property owners?
I will say, though, that like when I worked at Fred's and I'd have to take late deposits and stuff, and I'd be walking out the store at 10 o'clock at night with, you know, $15,000 in my hand.
Yeah.
You know, I carried a gun with me. Not to protect that money. I'd give that money away freely.
Yeah,
to protect me.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And Fred's has a definite no gun policy. But
Sure. Through
my entire years of working at Fred's, nobody knew that I carried a gun with me when I went out to the car. I never had to use it.
Let me paint another example. And this is one that now we've already adopted and has been law for years now. But to me, kind of the same principle applies, like with smoking. Mm-hmm. We pass laws now. You cannot, in Tennessee, I guess, and it's different in different states and depending on the business, but, you know, you can't smoke in a restaurant in Tennessee. You know, used to be, like when I was a kid, you could smoke, or then there was smoking sections and things like that. And
remember Burger King had ashtrays when I was a kid. I was like,
the little foil, little thin foil. Uh-huh. I hadn't thought about
gold foil ashtrays.
I hadn't thought about that in 100 years, man. Mm-hmm. But again, the same sort of thing applies. It's like if you prefer to go to a non-smoking establishment, go. Mm-hmm. If you prefer to go to one where you can smoke, go. Mm-hmm. If you're business owners and your property owners and stuff, and I run into this a lot of time answering calls, you know, police calls and stuff. Somebody's getting thrown out of a house or getting thrown out of a, I don't mean getting evicted, but I mean they're at somebody's house and they want them to leave.
Right.
Or they're at a business and they don't like the way they're being served. And you know, somehow or another people end up getting into it. And well, they can't just do this, and they can't serve me. And the only reason I did this, and you know, I'm not leaving. And I'm like, yeah, you are. It doesn't matter. You know, once they tell you to go, or mm-hmm. we're not. If you come in there to buy a pack of gum, they don't want to sell you a pack of gum. You really don't even need a reason. Where it gets a little strange is then when we get into. People go, what's discrimination? It's discrimination. What they try to do is invoke the Civil Rights Act. Well, again, I just read for you, who under the law, under the Constitution of the United States, by accordance with the Civil Rights Act, who are considered protected class, and it's race, color, religion, sex, national origin. There's nothing else on there. Mm-hmm. You know, now we want to pretend and maybe through activism, you know, force with these human rights commissions. But, you know, to me, you know, who you're inclined to go to bed with mm-hmm. is not comparable to race. It's not immutable. And I don't know. Race is immutable. Mm-hmm. People are whatever race or color that they are. That's immutable. Mm-hmm. You don't have any control over that at all. But behavior and choices.
But you run into that, like, well, you can't go in there. Oh, but I'm gay. Oh, well, go ahead. We can't.
And that's what's happening. That's what's happening. Now we're creating. And I'm not saying we should be discriminatory.
Yeah.
But that's what's happening now. We're creating a culture of fear, mm-hmm. and people are nervous and they're anxious. Right. And none of us know what to do. Mm-hmm. We don't know. Well, if I do that, you know, which way am I right and which way am I wrong? If I do this or if I do that, and you know, we want to be so careful and correct. And I saw something the other day where apparently, at least in the conversation I was observing, that now African American has, as an expression, has cycled out. Now we're back to saying black, or we're supposed to. That was what I saw in this conversation. They were laughing about it. No, you don't have to call us African American anymore. I'm like, well, I didn't get the memo, but
I don't think I ever have. I think I've always said black.
Well, you know, somebody finally figured out that like Egypt is in Africa, and that there was an example several weeks ago on the news, and it was someone like a black gentleman from a different country. I think he was from the UK. He might have been English, and they kept calling him African American.
Mm-hmm. He's like, I'm neither.
Exactly. So, we've followed that through to its logical conclusion, and now folks are figuring out that to use that expression applies really to it very narrowly.
Right.
What do you do with a black person from Europe? Mm-hmm. You know, they're not African-American. Mm-hmm. What do you do, you know, with somebody from Egypt?
Yeah, they are African-American.
If they're over here. Yeah, if they're, you know, so we kind of miss the whole.
Yeah, and I wonder, too, how many people, like, as somebody that's hired somebody, and I usually, you know, I've never discriminated against anybody, but I wonder in history how many people have not been hired, any black people or Hispanic people or whatever, because of all the problems they could see in the future if they were to mess up and say something they weren't supposed to, or mm-hmm. you know, I wonder if that's a detriment to them to have all that.
Well, and that's where you get your affirmative action laws.
Yeah.
But I don't know that I have an answer for you. Mm-hmm. I would say this: the other side of that coin is how difficult a standard it may be to prove discrimination is the reason. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't get that job because, you know.
Yeah.
And anybody that really wanted to discriminate on those kind of bases, you would think would be cautious not to reveal that. You know, well, they're not just in there going, no, we don't hire blacks here. Yeah. You know, you wouldn't think.
Yeah. I mean, I just know that myself, when I dealt with black employees versus white employees, you know, I might play and kid around more with the white employees and might kind of mind my P's and Q's a little bit more around the black employees, right. Just because I didn't want to offend anybody here.
Yeah. It's that culture of nervousness, and mm-hmm. you almost wish we could just cut up and get on with each other. And
and
you know, who knows what the world would look like if we didn't have these commissions and these activists and everybody confusing us all the time.
Yeah.
We're confused. I don't know
if they would just drop it.
I saw something the other day. You know, because like when I was Nate's age, it was like LGB.
Mm-hmm.
Then it went to LGBT. Then it went to LGBTQ.
Q, yeah.
And a couple of days ago, I saw LGBQTI.
That's
Does anybody know what the I is?
I don't either.
LGBQTI.
Yeah, I mean, I guess since they started using gay as a derogatory word, I kind of see changing it up. But, I mean, what's wrong with being, if you're gay, be gay. Don't be... All these other,
unless you're Captain America.
Yeah. Don't be all these other consonants. You know, just be gay if you're gay.
We're so hung up on the language. Mm-hmm. And I don't even think it's not... People go, it's political correctness. It's PC. You know, there's a deeper psychology here. It's a political correctiveness. It's people that like to correct.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I can't stand people like that.
Got Gretchen riled up now.
She moved the chair.
And you know, it's like that... like you say, you know, hey, I used to work with some black guys, and they're not black, they're African American,
right?
You know, and I really want to support the plight of rape victims. They're not victims, they're survivors. You know, it's like, shut up.
Listen to the words. Don't listen to what's not being said. Listen to what's being said.
You know, Oriental. Things are Oriental. People are Asian. It's this obsessive need, and it's an arrogance. It's a condescension to want to correct.
Yeah, you know, if you can't win an argument, you just got to argue with what they're saying.
That's what it is. It's a distraction. Mm-hmm. Like if we're sitting here trying to have a conversation, and you go, like you, we're just trying to make a point and tell a story. You know, well, when I worked and I had black and white employees, African American. If I interrupt you, mm-hmm. then we have to burn a couple of calories going, okay, you know what I mean. All right, now let's get back.
Through the story, I got to remember, I got to say the right word or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm. And like with gay, we don't know if we're supposed to say that or not, or whatever.
You know, if you want to be called something different, say it. I'll call you different. But mm-hmm. why wouldn't you just be what you are?
Or things that were common usage that became a slur mm-hmm. that we then took the power back and made it common usage again, but then used it so much it becomes a slur again, and it's like on and on and on and on, and the next thing we know, then we just don't even know what to do, so we stick a candle through a paper plate and go take back the night.
Yeah. Well, the one thing that I remember is, the F-A-G-G-O-T-T word. I don't know if it's two T's or one T, but, originally that was a bundle of sticks they threw on a fire. And then when being gay was against the law in medieval times, instead of throwing the sticks on the fire, they would throw gay people on the fire.
Yeah, right.
So that's where that expression came from. And so super derogatory term. Super, super, super. Would not ever want to use that term. But then you see it at these gay pride parades, they got these signs up that have that word on it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like, if you're going to be upset about what you're called, at least get the history about what you're calling yourself. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, we're going to take it back. Don't say it, don't use it, but we're going to take it back. And
in the 80s, I used that word all the time when I was mad at somebody.
Everybody did. I would say that I feel bad about it, but I really don't, because at the time, that's what everybody called each other.
Yeah, well, it didn't mean what it's supposed to mean.
The R word.
I think they got more offended if you shortened it.
Yeah.
And it was when it was just F-A-G.
Yeah. And here we are talking about F words and R words, but like calling somebody a retard is very, very frowned upon these days. In fact, I made a joke one time about that, and like I got seriously, seriously busted on it. Like people were very mad at me about it. And it's a medical term about somebody with lower IQ, lower intelligence. Right. So I wasn't saying that they had a medical problem. I was saying they, possibly could have acted like they had.
Oh no! Jail. I heard the other day that what was it? It's another phrase to describe. Oh, I can't remember now, but that was even taboo. Like we weren't supposed to say that, and it's one that came after retardation.
Well, that's just it. None of us know.
Mentally delayed. Sorry, mentally delayed.
And then once you're used to saying it as a slur, then you're like, I can't say it anymore. But then you slip up and say it, and it's like, he said that.
And so somebody can correct you.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
And it doesn't even actually offend whoever it is that's offended by it. It's that they're afraid you're going to offend somebody. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, if I didn't offend you, then we're good.
Yeah.
I just think that's what it is. It's not always just about right and wrong or correctness. It's about some psychology about people that need to condescend, and they need to be they need to be above you.
Well,
and,
I mean, if you use all the correct language to talk down to somebody about their the way they are. If I were to use all the correct language to say that being gay is wrong, it's a sin, you're going to go to hell. If I used all the correct language to that, would that be better than me saying, hey, if you're gay, it's all right. You know, we love you anyway. What's better to you guys if I use all the correct grammar and terminology and everything to say, I don't really approve of what you're doing, or if I say, hey, be gay, do what you're going to do. You know, I'm happy, you're happy. We love you just the same.
I think there was a time when I could kind of follow you through with that. But, I mean, I think there's so much hostility now just toward people that aren't.
Yeah.
There's a hostility towards men. Mm-hmm. Masculinity,
CIS,
is under attack, so to speak. Maybe I shouldn't say that. Everything's under attack. But there really is. There's this pushback against masculinity, all this, you know, the nonsense about rape culture and the rape culture on our college campus. And that's all it is. It's just this constant thing of men bad, masculinity bad. We need to make everything effeminate, make everything gay because everybody else is rapist. And here, and look. Let me do this little exercise and let me show you what nonsense this is. Let's assume that all these things we're being told are correct. All the shocking statistics that 1 in 4 young women and girls on college campuses are victims of, I'm sorry, survivors of some type of sexual assault. That's shocking. We've got a rape culture on our campus. Let me ask you a question. If you knew that on the local college campus, and we've got many around here, if you sent your daughter there, that there was a 1 in 4 chance that she would be a victim of a sexual assault, would you send your daughter?
Heck no.
Okay, does everybody understand my point?
Why send her there if there's a chance?
Do we really believe that one in four? My thing is, if we really believe that, if the people that said that really believe that.
Yeah, every college in America would be shut down.
But gee, they're enrolling.
I saw a poster the other day that just kind of struck me, but it had 2 college kids on it, you know, and it said, John and Jane got drunk at a party and went home and had consensual sex. Yep. Well, it's not consensual if Jane's drunk.
Yep.
It's rape. And it's like, well, John was drunk too. Isn't it kind of rape the other way?
Yeah.
Doesn't it work both
ways? They both got drunk.
Yeah.
They both agreed to do it. And John's the rapist.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's it. That's another example, of what I'm talking about. And that's where these quote-unquote rape culture statistics come in, and this 1 in 4. That's what I'm disputing, because I'm saying if that was true, you wouldn't be sending your kids there. Women would not be enrolling in college if that was true.
You'd have 1 police officer for every student there if that was the case. I mean,
if you knew anywhere you walked in, there was a 1 in 4 chance you were going to be raped or be a victim of a sexual assault, who would go?
Yeah.
It's absurd.
And so much of that stuff, that's what drives me crazy, is the advertising of it. If you just research, who said this? Why did they say this? Oh, they were burned by something. Now they want to tear this place down. Okay. Now that's where that came from. And it's the same for, it just takes common sense. I can't stand when people say, oh, they put salt in table, or they put glass and table salt. You know, why would they do that? Mm-hmm. You know, it's the same concept where you just have not done the research. You've not found out why they said these things or where that came from. You're just taking it at face value. I it drives me crazy.
Internet. Everybody on the internet. And everybody has a voice.
I saw it on the internet, so it's got to be true. Got to be.
Or you know, don't take this because it'll kill you. You know, who's making that advertisement? Their competitor? Oh, well, then that makes sense.
Well, the internet has done, it's given everyone a voice. Mm-hmm. But
an anonymous voice.
But what it has done in the process has also led to the fallacy or the false idea that your opinion matters.
Right.
It really doesn't.
Yeah.
And mine doesn't.
No.
Really. But now that everyone has a voice, everyone, you know, thinks their opinion matters.
They've got this circle of people that really value their opinion.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess we can bring this home for now. We went off in a strange place.
Yeah. Captain America's got us all messed
up.
I'm
interested now to go back. Now that I go back to cut the show and go back and listen to see how we got from A to B. How did we wind up here? So we'll come back here, I guess, in a couple of weeks. My bunch is going to go to Ohio. We wanted to get a show in the can before we took off to go to Ohio, visit some family there and go up into Amish country and eat that homemade cheese and homemade candy and all that stuff we love. And
you got to bring some back.
Yeah, man.
Can't wait.
We'll bring you back a cheese plate.
Yay.
And when we come back, one of the things we need to do now that school's out and teacher let the monkeys out is we're going to have another game. We need to have another game pod coming up.
Yeah.
Randall needs to be challenged for his crown.
We were going to do Pictionary and have you describe what we were drawing.
Yeah. We had this really elaborate, heady idea that we would play Pictionary.
Yeah.
And that since the listeners can't see the Pictionary, Nathan would describe what's being drawn.
2 lines in a circle.
It's one of those things. You know how we talk about, like, that sounded like a really clever idea until you do it. Until you do it. It's like,
man, this is taking forever. This is long.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see you guys after we get back from Ohio. We'll plan another game pod coming up very soon, and we'll call it a day. I'm Pastor Dave, sitting with Gretchen and Randall the Armor Bearer, Nate the Great over there. Nate, tell them who we are.
We are They That Believe.